Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the American Dream Podcast. I am your host, Elias Torres, and this week, I am sharing my conversation with Kathy Colson, Mexican immigrant and vice president of IT. I went into this conversation thinking it was going to be all a technical talk, but I couldn't have been more wrong. Give it a listen to see what I mean. Welcome to the show, Kathy. Kathy Colson here. I'm so excited to have you. I so much love meeting other Latinos in this country doing great things, right? Not just like in career, but so I want to learn more about you. Kathy Colson, let's start from there. I love that. I love that name. Tell me more about this name. What's the full name? Give me the background.
Well, I have to say, I do love my name. Kathy Colson is full of love. But my name has a bigger story. My given name is Adriana Catalina Renteria Ramirez. And you may say, so how does that translate to Kathy Colson? Well, my mom has always called me Kathy because my middle name is Catalina. So Kathy is who I am. Kathy is who I respond to when people, you know, approach me. And Colson is my husband's last name.
But it sounds like you're 1,000% Latina. So where from?
Oh, 1,000, yeah. Mexico, Torreón, Coahuila, Mexico.
You were born there. What year? What did you do? What was the last thing you did in Mexico before you came here?
Well, the last thing I did in Mexico was getting married to my husband. Because we married, had a honeymoon, and then I came to the U.S. But I was born there. My whole family is there. I have a sister living in Canada. But my entire family, for as long as I can remember generations back, is in Mexico, from Mexico. And that was my expectation in life. My goal in life was to have a job and a profession that will help me help Mexico. And I think that is the one thing I brought with me here, right? It doesn't matter what I would be doing, there will be a piece of me that will help
me. And so you study in Mexico, right? That's amazing.
Yes.
So you have a degree over there.
Yes, I went to the Tec de Monterrey in Monterrey. You know, I study overseas. I came back. I was actually working before graduation for General Electric, and I was accruing credits to apply for a scholarship in Europe so then I could go back and then give back.
Love that.
That was my plan. Instead, I went to a funeral and I met my husband there. And then I already told you the rest of the story. But yeah, I mean, I had a plan, but God had other plans.
You haven't told me the whole story. We're going to tell the story here. That's the point. But there's so many questions I have there. Like, great. You, Tecnológico de Monterrey. Is that like the MIT of Mexico? Wow. Amazing.
Yes.
So you're very smart from the beginning.
I had ambition. Right? I said, I want to go there. And that was a struggle because my dad said, no, you're going to stay home and you can study whatever you want here. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go there. I'm going to get a scholarship. I'm going to make it there. And I'm going to work. And I went there and I did get a job. And I always had this goal of, I'm going to be self-sufficient. I'm going to do something of value. And I'm going to do that, and also I'm going to give back.
That's
somehow
amazing. I mean, it's something that we are struggling in our society, right? To, I always get in trouble, but I do think that a woman with your drive, and you're such a role model, right? To be able to say, I want to be self-sufficient. I want to go there. You're bucking the trends of your parents. Whatever stereotypes or misjudgments, or, you know, they love you, but they still had different ideas that we're dealing with this problem to this day everywhere in the world, right? And you said, I want to do it. And so that's already an encouragement, right, for everybody to say, a woman, young Latina, young immigrant sees you and says, she Kathy went and says, I want to go to this school, that's one of the top schools in Mexico. And look how you did that. And it must not been easy. Like, everybody wants everything figured out when they're in that struggle. And they see you, and yes. They're like, why can't I just do what she did, right? But
yeah, or you had it so easy. I mean, look at you. Everything has been given to you. Isn't that nice? And the truth is, no. And you're right, just breaking the stereotypes and breaking with those traditions that hold us back. I mean, it's still today, strange to say, a woman has ambition. Because if you, as a man, have ambition, well, great, right? You should be. But if a woman comes and says, no, I have ambition too, and I'm going to go over there. It still feels a little
different. Yeah. And then, so you study economics, Monterrey Tecnológico, and then you get married. Then you come to the States. Tell me a little bit about that journey. What happens when you first land? Where did you land? What place did you land?
I crossed the border through Juarez. And then I crossed the border through Juarez, just newlywed. And they stopped us at the border and they call us down and they take us to this office and they take me away and say, do you know this man? And I'm like, yeah, just marry him. You know, happy as can be. And they said, are you sure you know this man? You know, this is a safe place. If you don't want to see this man ever again, he's not going to hurt you. He's never going to see you again. Just tell me, do you know this man? And I'm like, yes, I marry him and I'm happy. So, but you know, I was so young and naive. I thought that was odd, but it never sinked in until much later. I was saying like, oh, that happened over there. So anyway, that's how I got into the US. I came here to the Silicon Valley because he works in tech and I had to restart. I had to start over and I just had to get into the community and the workforce.
Wow. And so what was your first job? That intro into the country is amazing. I feel like a Breaking Bad episode. I don't know if you ever watched that show.
That's how it was. I mean, I don't know. That's exactly what happened. And then, you know, they just had my husband sitting there. Yeah.
So you come into Silicon Valley. What a dream, right? What an opportunity, what a blessing coming into the heart of tech. You come in here and where's the first place you go to? What's your purpose? What's your purpose? You come in and you're like, you're still thinking, I want to help Mexico, right? That's what you're...
Yes, I'm thinking I need to get a job and I need to get into the community. And it was hard. I mean, you're in your home country. You know, I had a good education. I had a job. There were struggles. But I was never a minority, right? I was a Mexican, just like everybody else was Mexican. I come here and I start sensing that it's a little hard. Right. Like I would have my resume, I hand it out and I said, oh, yeah, you know, I work for GE and I went here for school. Nobody cared. It was like it did not resonate at all. I am at a 4th of July barbecue speaking Spanish with my husband and someone approaches me and says, hey, you speak Spanish? I'm like, yeah. You want a job? I'm like, please. Yes. So that was a Saturday. On Monday, I show up, and my first job in the United States was as a receptionist for a law firm in San Mateo. And it was the best thing because it was my introduction to society, my introduction to the workforce, and the first step of my journey. It's just delightful, and I was helping the community. Like all these workers, most of them in construction, agriculture, and so on, were from Latino backgrounds. To say they needed someone who can pick up the phone in Spanish so I could talk to them. So again, you know, the dream and the intention was coming together.
Yeah.
I was starting a career and I was helping the community. So that was the beginning.
Look at how beautifully you just explain that of like my first job was like cleaning offices in the grill at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Yours, you were at a lawyer's office, you know, entry level job, but you're helping the community using your language, and you remember it so happily, and you're like, this was a great, I have a desk job and I help people.
It's amazing, right? Like, I'm making friends. I'm learning from the lawyers. Yeah. I'm talking to people. I could sense the relief when somebody on the other side was speaking their language. I felt like my job had purpose, and it had purpose. And I knew it was not going to be long-term, right? You know, I was not going to spend, in my mind, my entire career there. But it filled me absolutely. With purpose.
I mean, sounds like a fun job. Like, I would want that job. You know, it's like where you just like, I just talked to three people today on the phone. I made that family feel better. I explained what was happening here at the lawyer's office. And look what's happening. So, like, you go home and you're like, I did some good things today. This is what we want to feel like, right, when we go home. Regardless of what we get paid. So then what happens?
I had a really good relationship with this lawyer, best mentor, coach, boss, and then her firm was growing, and another lawyer came in, and this other person came with a different mindset that said, well, you're the receptionist. You should not be befriending the lawyers. Remember, you're here to make copies, so stay making copies. And that broke me. I went home and I cried. And then my husband said, you know, you don't have to accept that treatment. It's not right. So quit. And just the realization that I could quit because I didn't agree with that treatment.
Yeah.
It was liberating. So I did quit, which sounds great, but then you face reality the next day, right? The next day you find yourself without a job. And I tried to find a job, and the next job that I found is the recording for the voice in Spanish for a hotel chain. Yeah. You know, when you call reception and it says, para español, marque el número dos, I was number two. Number two, yes. So I recorded everything. So if you ever find yourself in the Caribbean at this hotel chain, I might still be number two over there.
And so I see here on your LinkedIn some big names. So big tech.
Yes.
How do you go from that world and you break into tech?
So the beginning was, you know, this job and then that job and then that job. And I'm thinking, Kathy, You have to make something happen. Like, you have to take off. I was working then for this startup, and the startup was not doing well. We were training the team in China, and I knew there was a dead end. So I started looking, and Cisco gave me a contract for 3 months. So I had the decision to make to stay at this place, knowing that there was a dead end, or take a risk and go for a 3 month contract. So I take the 3 months contract and I say, these are going to be the best 3 months this company has ever seen. 3 months as a contractor became 6, 9. Then I was pregnant with my baby, and my boss said, Kathy, we want to hire you full time. Go have your baby. And then when you come back, you know, let me know. So 6 weeks after I have my second baby, I come back to the office, they give me a full-time position, and that was the beginning of the journey.
I'm working right now with a project using AI for the Federal Pay Leave Act to allow mothers and parents and for newborns or for caring for sick family members and job protection, right, for maternity leave, right? And I think that, what a great story, right, that it was right after your pregnancy, tech was able to open for you the doors and welcome you full time. But in other places,
it's
a struggle, right? So
it is a struggle. But you know what it is? It is the human in the company. And for me, it has been tech, But at the end of the day, it's that manager that places the trust. So I think if we can count on more people tapping into empathy, humanity, fairness, equality, that's where we are really going to start seeing traction and change.
No, you're right. It's sometimes we think the evil is in the company or like it,
the big machine.
But the reality is that individuals can make a big change, can make a big impact. You know, just all you need is just fighting. It's just somebody that lifts a little bit. What I heard from the moms today was like, you know, I just had a baby and they say that I have to submit the form on that last day, or I have to call HR multiple times. And then it is so stressful, right, to manage that process. But it helps you lift a little bit of that load, right? Just makes a huge difference. And that was great. So tell me about Tech Latina in Tech. You have some big titles now. Vice President. What's going on here? I want to be a vice president. How do you become a vice president?
It took a long time. I joined Cisco around 2006 as a contractor, and the opportunity was there for me to make it grow. At least in my mind, my goal was, okay, Kathy, you have the opportunity to take a job or you have the opportunity to start a career. And my choice was, I'm going to start a career. This is not a job. This is a career. And this is where my priorities start converging really and fully. I have the tech job. I joined immediately the Latino group at Cisco. And I joined the Latino group at Cisco because I start, at my manager's request, a giving back program for the group that catches the attention of the Latinos. And then it becomes a flagship program for the group for multiple years. So what I have found is purpose propels progress.
Yeah, I think that purpose is, I don't know, we can get really philosophical into what is purpose, what is life, you know, what is the meaning of life, what is happiness, right? And it's I think that a lot of things get clouded with whether it's just wealth or whether it's a title or whether it's a trip or whether it's material things, but you're hitting on some of the most fundamental things, right? It's like a purpose, right?
Yes.
Like you sound very purposeful and very happy in all your journey, but I'm sure it wasn't easy, but you sound very happy about it. What's the secret there?
The secret is that I made the most out of my time, right? Like I have not put giving back for later. It has just been part of it. So when I look back in my career, I can, you know, be proud of the accomplishments of the job itself. But what really makes me happy is seeing how my colleagues come together for the good of the community. The truth is that we have to do better than the average in our day jobs. We have to show that we exceed expectations, that we are outstanding, and that we are also there for the community. And it can be done. And, you know, it really makes you a better leader. It makes you manage your time better. Like, it really upskills you in so many different ways because it's good for the community, but it's also good for your networking. It's good for your leadership building, and it's good for you to manage more than you thought you could.
But people are so unhappy with their jobs, but the fact that you had that just made your job so interesting and powerful.
I tried. I gave it all, you know, with the family, with the work, with the community. Yes. So I am at peace. Yeah. I still have ambitions.
It's more than complimentary, I think, is what makes work fun for the people that are not workaholics. I'm a workaholic, so like I love work on its own, right? But you know, but you unlocked that for the people. I just hear a lot of people be like, I hate my job. People are so like anti-job. I thought it was a recent thing, but I saw an Instagram post that said, in 2023, people hate their job. In 2022, articles and mentions of people hating their jobs. In 2019, in 2016, in 2000, 1922, people hate their jobs. So people hate their jobs, but it's so simple if you unlock it. And this is a huge unlock, right? Serve people, serve the community, find the group of people that need you, whether they look like you, whether they have same need. It could be the same disease in the family, an illness, a hardship, addiction, whatever it is, right? Find the community. We're so multifaceted, and go help. And then everything else.
You're so right. Find the community. Find that thread that you can follow. And, you know, maybe you bring your family along. Maybe you bring your colleagues along. Maybe you bring your, you know, I don't know, friends and neighbors along. But I think there is a piece, particularly with this remote work, right? It just isolates you. It's great. The hybrid mode, I love it. But let's not miss sight of the value of human connections. And when human connections happen, innovation happens, productivity, efficiency, but kindness and goodness, and you start removing those preconceptions that we may have about each other that are not
necessarily true. You sound like an evil corporate board member, executive leader that just wants everybody in the office 5 days a week. Elegant way. Let's get back into the office. No, I'm like that. I'm an extrovert. I right now I'm from home all the time, and I have to try to get out of the house every day. Something, a coffee, a meeting, or whatever. I'm so glad pandemic's over.
Oh yes, but you know, it's about finding purpose, and as you mentioned, it's going to be different for everybody. But aligning your growth and your ambition and your intentionality with something of higher purpose, it promotes growth. It doesn't get in the way of growth. It actually moves you forward. So, you know, for your listeners that are thinking, well, you know, maybe I just need to do this one thing and maybe I'll save that for later. It just, you will feel so much more happier. You will connect with like-minded people, and you will gain momentum.
I love the word momentum. I think that that's one of my secret superpowers, right? It's the ability to generate momentum, right? Generate momentum, the way I do that is by saying yes and putting myself in things that I hate. I hate wasting my time, but I'm optimistic of the things that I do. That in a way I'm a little capitalistic, a little, where it's like I do something in hoping of something coming out of it, right? It's like I'm always going for a purpose. I have to, like, am I going to get leads? I'm going to meet someone. I'm doing AI projects. And I've been offered not just for-profit ones, but I've been offered nonprofit. And I just said yes. But the nonprofit work that I'm doing has been way more exciting than the for-profit. The nonprofits are like the leaders, the women involved in this process, in these things are so mind-blowing, impressive, well-connected. I'm talking the board of directors at Harvard, you know, and I didn't even know that. I just found out that yesterday, 5 weeks into working with them. I don't even look up. I'm not even doing the research. It's like, you just call who? And you invited this person? And you want to connect me with McKinsey? And I'm just like, I'm having more professional excitement in my work by working with nonprofit leaders.
You know, you're touching an important point, because the way you're doing that, you untapped the emotions with the nonprofit. And that's what I see. What I see in nonprofits is you bring your talents, but you grow so much and your network explodes. And the deepness of those connections goes beyond, you know, the transaction of your daily job, because you are aligned to a mission. And then you start connecting your brain with your heart, and that's where true powers come from. Ronald McDonald House of Charities in the Bay Area, it's my nonprofit. And we're getting into the holiday season, and I'm planning, you know, toy drives and things, and just thinking about bringing joy to these families who have a medical crisis with their kids. And when that happens, the whole family is in crisis. You know, mom and dad have to be by the hospital side. That means every night is a hotel night and three meals plus however member of the family is, you know, for 3 days or 3 months or 6 months. So having this organization come in and help out during Christmas, the toys we donate go to the kids and their siblings, so they get to experience Christmas even though they are in the hospital, and the siblings as well. So yes, you know, you have the stress and you have the pressure and you have the economic that goes around doing a good job, but then you have these moments of what we're doing for the nonprofit matters, and it is my obligation to spread the word and bring more executives and more professionals to really be part of the community, because we need everybody.
Yeah, no, I love this. Thank you so much for coming. And God, I thought I was speaking with the vice president of IT, and we were just going to talk shop all day, and we did not say one word about technology. Except that it just pays the bill to allow us to do and fulfill and chase our purpose, you know.
It transforms, it amplifies, it allows us to scale. But yeah, what is it that we want to amplify? What is it that we want to scale? What is it that we want to untap?
Yeah.
It has to be something good.
Yeah, we turned this into a full therapy session. Like, this is like a motivational thing. I just wanted to hear your story, and I wanted to know how much you made and how much stock you have, and that's sweet, you know, and inspire people. Go get money. Instead, we're like, no, community, you know.
No. Yes, you know, do good and do good.
No.
That's the goal.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
It is my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the American Dream Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss a new episode. And share the episode with your friends. Our work isn't done until everyone has equal access to their dreams.